T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's give our next guest the proper introduction. Wake up every morning watching him on TV, FS1. He's an NBA savant, not that that matters in this town. He's one of the best middle-aged television talents in the world.
Middle-aged?
But he's got a problem. He's got one issue. He's got a major blind spot when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So what we're going to try to do here is school him on the Steelers, give him some information on the Steelers. That way he can go back on television and sound a little bit more intelligent about them. And I'm talking about Nick Wright from First Things First on FS1, one of my good friends, although not one of my best friends when it comes to breaking down the Steelers, because he has them at 8-8 this year and the Browns better than them. Again, did not learn his lesson from last year. Hi, Nick.
Hi. Hi, Andrew. Listen, when I talk about you on television and in industry circles, and I call you one of, if not the best radio talent in the country, and that is, and by the way, when I say one of, that includes Chris, because he has to deal with you, of course, on a daily basis. I'm going to need to add to it also the only talk show host I know of that can give someone a 137-second introduction, yet manage to mispronounce their one-syllable last name, which also doubles as a regularly used word, and call someone who's 35 years old and middle-aged totally unnecessarily. But as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
You love Mike Tomlin, and you love the Steelers' defense, and you think they're going to be an average team this year because you hate Ben Roethlisberger. True or false?
I don't hate Ben Roethlisberger. I wouldn't donate a kidney for him the way you would, and I don't mean donate a kidney for him if he was in kidney failure. I mean if he just was like, hey, Pony, I think I need a third one to deal with all the drinking, I think he'd probably give it to him. But, he's 38 years old. He appears to be at least, you know, a BMI of, like, a 38-year-old with a 31 BMI, probably not great. And a turnover machine, and it's going to be the least talent he's had on offense at any point in his career. It's better than the duck, and it's better than the dude who got bonked on the head.
No, it's not, because you got him with the same record, so it's not better. It's the same. And you fat-shamed him again there.
I understand, Pony, that that this show is typically a safe space for you and your listeners, but I'm going to be honest with you. Even in 2020, I think there's one group of people left that not only is it okay to fat shame, but you should, and they're professional athletes. If part of your job, in fact, almost entirety of your job, is being in shape, we're allowed to mock you if you're not. I have no qualms with that. I think that was true in 1920. It's true in 2020. The team can be better, and the record can be the same. And you, once again, I feel like my prediction on the Browns last year was closer than yours, because I said they'd make the playoffs. I think you had them going -2-18. And, I mean, they ended up almost winning 8 games. I think they beat your team. I think they beat your team in the game when your guy got bonked on the head. So, I think the Browns will be better. They don't have a fan as the coach, and I don't think Baker will be a turnover machine.
Chris, I need to calm down. Can you get a question in while I compose myself?
Not really, because I can't figure out if I'm listening to W-A-E-R Syracuse or W-E-R-W Syracuse. So I'm just going to keep on letting it roll here. No, Nick, I agree with you, though. I don't buy the Browns hype.
What do you agree
year.
With them on? That Ben's fat?
I think that the
you
Steelers
saw the hype
like
video.
A... You're the one that studied his abs and his love handles and his muffin top or lack thereof for several minutes by your own admission. My primary complaint with you, Andrew, has been that you've continually tried to view the Steelers of 2020 through a prism that doesn't involve any other team making any improvements whatsoever. The Browns don't have Bozo the Clown running the show. The Ravens, if anything, got better. Joe Burrow might not suck. And the Steelers have a lot of games against good quarterbacks that they have to play. Mm. So I think that they could easily be a team that's better in balance with Ben Roethlisberger, and it barely, if at all, reflects on their record. Thank you.
You know what I just heard
to my
there?
TED Talk.
You know what I just heard there from Chris Mueller?
What's that?
Logic and sound reasoning. You know what I'm hearing from Andrew Filippone? The last guy. You know what? You know what you should do, Chris? Oh man, this would be fun. You should pull up LA talk shows going into the 2013 Lakers season when people were trying to convince themselves the late, great Kobe Bryant still had something left in the tank, even though all evidence was pointing otherwise and he had just suffered the first devastating injury of his career. That's what you should do, because I think it's going to be a lot of the same. So you're telling me this team that was this close last year without Kobe can't be right there with Kobe? Because that's what Andrew Filippone's doing. And it's, listen, I'm not here to mock him, but I do. You said
it sounds that way.
End.
It sounds that way.
You said something the front end, which is I love Mike Tomlin. Listen, I, unlike you, have at least a minimal amount of respect for Mike Tomlin, who is a Hall of Fame coach by the press.
No, he's not.
I don't know if you checked. I figured this would be something. You
by
know
that by that do. Logic, Nick, you'd put Mike McCarthy in because they've got about the same resume, and we both know he's a nincompoop.
No, by the logic of an inferior coach for the same franchise just made it. I don't know if you were too busy studying Sidney Crosby's plus minus, but I do believe Bill Cowher just got in.
Yeah, because he was a better coach than Tomlin.
Oh, by what metric? By what analysis? By what standard?
Same number of Super Bowl wins. Not as many. Well, yeah, same number of Super Bowl wins. Look at all the AFC Championship games. Look at the quarterbacks he had to get there with: Cordell Stewart, Neil O'Donnell.
How many of those AFC Championship games did he lose at home repeatedly as the favorite?
Tomlin would have lost those games too, Chris.
Now we play the hypothetical game that can't be proven. Nick, I'll help you out here. You have to, again, run Andrew's preference for Bill Cowher over Mike Tomlin through a very simple filter. Bill Cowher only had a couple of years with Ben Roethlisberger
Correct.
As his quarterback. Three, to be exact.
Yep.
One of which he went 8-8 during. Mike Tomlin's had such a long time with wonderful Ben Roethlisberger that their records being the same in terms of Super Bowls won automatically means Bill Cowher is the better coach.
Preach.
That's the filter you need to run it through. Not that I think that filter is a correct one. I think Andrew's completely full of it, but I'm just trying to give you some context here into the level of insanity you're trying to parse.
Yeah, listen, it's a very odd spot where last year, Pony, what you would have thought, given what he thinks of Tomlin, that last year, when you lose your opening game and lose Ben Roethlisberger in your second game, that the team obviously was about to go 2-14 or 3-13. But instead, they win eight games.
No, you're wrong.
What do you mean, no?
You're wrong.
What do you mean?
Because they traded for one of the best defensive players in the entire league during that.
You hated that trade when it happened.
Yeah,
and, so did
and I was wrong.
But nobody thought
but
it was going to matter.
But that was because of Dolphins malpractice. That was Miami malpractice. They played Mink at the wrong position. We had the wrong read on the guy. He ended up being one of the best free safeties in the entire NFL.
Oh, wait, so hold on a second. Wait a second.
That's a compliment to Tomlin. It is that he put him at the right spot.
Yeah.
But you're not letting me finish my point. At 8-5, I wanted to build a statue for him. And then they lost three in a row, all games they were favored in. I'm not giving him a Medal of Freedom for going 8-8. I'm just not. He wouldn't hold himself to that crappy standard, Nick, and I'm not going to do it either. I'm not going to give him grading on a curve with the best defense in the NFL.
Okay, that's fine. But if you're not going to give grade him on a curve, then is it too much to ask that you don't reverse engineer this season before it even starts in order to where he either gets none of the credit or all of the blame. Because that's what you're building towards, is that this team, because Ben is back, should be awesome.
Yes.
If they're not, it must be the coach's
no,
fault.
No, no, you're putting
if
words
they
in my
are,
mouth.
If they are, then Ben gets the credit.
Well, man,
Nick, you don't even realize, Nick, you don't realize how much you're hitting the nail on the head, because let me explain to you. I'll give you the positive and the negative. In the positive scenario, they win a lot, and it's because Ben came back.
Comeback player of the year.
Hold on, stop. And Ben has such a great relationship with Randy Fichtner, who's basically his personal coach and happens to have the name offensive coordinator next to his. It's because that relationship was great. Now, stay with me, Nick. This might be like something where you think you'd have to trip acid to get this. If the Steelers suck and the offense is really bad, it's because they had a stale fart at offensive coordinator in Randy Fichtner, who, Andrew will point out, is Mike Tomlin's old buddy from way back when he was just a lowly OC at Memphis. And if Tomlin hadn't dragged him to the Steelers job, which he did, he admitted that on the Calipari coffee show or whatever it is, then he wouldn't have been here to sabotage Ben and sabotage the Steelers season. Do you like how that fits into a nice tidy box of Tomlin blame?
Listen, that's why, to go back to how this started, Andrew Filippone is Pittsburgh's most polarizing talk show talent, no disrespect to Chris, who, again, is doing the yeoman's work here, dealing with this on a daily basis, not even to mention your poor producer, who I talked to before, who put me on, who said, you and he are the only people in the building. Chris isn't even there to add a layer of sanity to the room. And it's why that Andrew's great at what he does. But it's just wildly unfair to one of the best coaches in the NFL.
Nick, look at me, or we're talking to Nick Wright. I need to reset. That's the professional polished thing to do from Fox Sports 1, first things first.
Why start now?
You can't tell me that 3 playoff wins over the last 9 years is a good job by Mike Tomlin and the Steelers organization as a whole. You can't tell me that. That's underachieving.
How many playoff wins if we, instead of having the arbitrary draw point at 9, because I know a lot of people do things in basis of 9, a decade is 9 years, a generation is 9 years. What if we just did the really odd thing and made it 10? What if we said in the last 10 years, what does that become then?
Well, that's the last time they went to the Super Bowl. I'm saying since Super Bowl, they've won 3 playoffs. That's the prime of Ben Roethlisberger. 3 playoff wins? Come on. That's embarrassing.
Wait, the prime of Ben Roethlisberger started the year after they made their last Super Bowl appearance?
Correct.
That's convenient.
That's when his numbers took off.
Okay.
Well, maybe more numbers for Ben is not a good thing, because maybe he's not as good as the numbers suggest. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Hold on. But can we please, and Chris, do with this what you want, but I do believe Andrew Filippone just said it himself. Mike Tomlin, by his own definition of Ben Roethlisberger's prime, went to 2 Super Bowls and won 1 Super Bowl with a non-prime Big Ben.
Right? You're right. You're right, except Ben won him that Super Bowl with that great late drive, and Tomlin's defense practically lost it because they gave up a Larry Fitzgerald touchdown. A Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer connection.
Just like Brady's first 3 championships before his
prime. Hey, Nick,
prime.
Are they hiring at Fox Sports by any chance? I have a resume ready to go if need be.
Well, listen, at this point, I'm not, I'll be honest with you. If they are, it could damn well be for my position, so I'm going to say I hope not, that we're just going to steady this ship as it is. Hey, just real quick, I know it's your guys' show, so I'm supposed to answer your questions, but I have a question. Under the NHL announced these new playoff stuff, does that mean the Penguins are in?
Yes.
Good for them. Are they going to win?
Maybe. Hey, Nick.
What?
You're the perfect person to ask this question to, because you have so many friends and you're so well connected and you're at the peak of your profession, the height of your profession.
Yep.
Why is
he in his prime as a talk show host, though,
Getting there. Okay. Why is it that so many people in the national football media dislike Ben Roethlisberger? What's your theory? Why does he get ripped more than the other elite quarterbacks do? Why is that?
Well, let's go down the list. He's now that Jameis isn't a starter, he's the only starting quarterback to have truly horrifying off-the-field allegations.
Okay, I'm going to just stop you there for a second.
That didn't happen.
I'm going to just stop you for a second, though.
What?
You say that, but then I see your network, ESPN, last night. They glorify Michael Vick. Oh, Michael Vick's last stand. Tune into a Monday night football game of the Chargers and Steelers. Vick didn't do anything, but let's promote Michael Vick and what he was so great at. So it can't just be the criminal stuff. It can't be the criminal allegations. Vick is put on a pedestal.
Hold on. So it's not just that. That is definitely true. I would argue Vick, you know, literally and figuratively did his time, however, and has showed remorse and changed action. I don't know if we can say that on the other side. But so there's that. That's the first part. The second part is the fact that he, I would argue, is counterfactual to you, which is he gets more of a pass by certain media members, which makes the other media members more likely to jump on him. Because he constantly throws coaches, head and coordinators under the bus in order to make himself look better. That stupid weekly interview that you convinced him to do, hey, he would constantly get to, you know, put Tomlin in the jackpot or make his teammates look bad. He has shown he does not do the things that in football we're told the best leaders do. He's a me guy. And unlike some of the other quarterbacks of his era who have shown an insane commitment to fitness, he has gone the other way. And so I do think there are folks such as myself, I will concede this point on Pittsburgh Radio, that go after him maybe a bit more than we would have to, because we see the wanton hypocrisy of some of our colleagues who know, absolutely know, if Ben Roethlisberger was love Ben Roethlisberger, he would have been pilloried and kicked out of this league 5 years ago for how he's acted.
Wow.
And Ben, people just they're like, you know,
wow,
that's Big Ben. And so I think some of us say, I'm not cool with it. And I think I thought his whole act the last year, you guys could have won the Super Bowl, when he was like, I wanted to spike the ball and they don't let me do this and they don't let me do that, was embarrassing. And then you guys lose to the Jaguars because he's turning the ball over all over the field. And then the last time he was any good. So, like, sorry.
Okay. I don't have time to tell you they scored 42 points in that game and they gave up 45 to Blake Bortles. But that's okay.
Hold on. I know they scored. They gave up 45. How many turnovers did they have in that game?
My internet stopped working and I'm being told we've run out of time. Nick Wright. First things first, FS1, also Mad Dog Radio, starting at 6.
Go Penguins, now that I know that the hockey's happening again. Let's
Get Nick Wright. I'm tongue-tied because of the Penguin stuff.
You can't say my actual last name and
Bye. You
can't say my Twitter handle.
I can't.
Goodbye.
I can't talk anymore to you because I'm upset. Nick Wright.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.